Today on Bold Steps with Mark Job, we'll explore an all-important question. What should we do now?
If you really understood the message, you'd be saying, Pastor, what should we do if it's our sin that nailed him to the cross? What should we do if we finally realize that Jesus was crucified because of what we did? Peter gets up in front of the crowd, and he says that they need to do two things.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church and President of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. Well, next week, by the way, January 15th, Moody is offering an online info session, so if you have been considering what you should do next or which college you should attend, take a look. For more information, visit us at boldstepsradio.org. Now, Mark, here today we're looking at a power section of Scripture in Acts where Peter confronts the crowd and reminds them about the crucified Jesus. And some people, maybe new to Christianity, might be wondering, who crucified Jesus?
Yeah, Wayne, I think a lot of people get to a point in their life where they finally realize their own brokenness. We live with this idea that we're good enough, this idea that it's other people that really need a God encounter. This passage takes us right to the matter. If you are overwhelmed with your sin, if you realize how broken you are, how far from God you are, this passage goes straight to what should we do now?
Right. So we're all crucifiers of Jesus
in a sense,
aren't we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are. And great passage, by the way. Very clear, powerful, and concise. What should we do now?
Acts chapter 2. And if you're listening, it's no accident. God has a special and powerful word for you today. Let's dive into the message. Here's Mark.
The Apostle Peter got up on the day of Pentecost, and there are several thousand people there that were traditional, that were religious, but really were not followers of Jesus. And he began to explain to them what it meant to be a follower of Jesus, and finally it struck them, hey, we crucified Jesus, and they asked themselves this question, what should we do? I remember when my children were smaller, my youngest son Grant was very prone to accidents. And he was probably about 3 years old. We were at a friend's house, and he got on a treadmill. His older brother and sister were watching him. Got on a treadmill, and he fell and hit his head. And as soon as he cut his head, it just started gushing in blood. So his sister ran upstairs with panic on her face, and she said, Dad, Grant's bleeding. What should we do? What should we do? And when I picked him up, sure enough, he had a gash on his head, but he was cut first. There was an emergency, and she wanted to know, what should we do? We had to take him to the hospital. But I believe that when there's a crisis, when there's emergency, when we realize that something is happening, we ask ourselves this question, what should I do now? And I want to turn your attention to Acts chapter 2. Verse 36, the Apostle Peter gets up, he preaches the gospel, and he says to the Jewish people that are listening to his message, he says, you crucified Jesus. They could have said, no, it was the Romans. The Roman soldiers, they're the ones that got the hammer and the nail and crucified Jesus. The Romans could have said, no, it was the Jews. They're the ones that brought him to Pontius Pilate, and they said, hey, crucify him, do something with him. The Jews could have said, no, it was Judas. Judas paid 30 pieces of silver and betrayed Jesus. It was Judas' fault. And he says, you crucified Jesus. Here's what I want you to know today. And they were cut to their heart, that says, and then they ask, what should I do? My prayer this morning as I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, I prayed that some of you would be cut to your heart as you realize it wasn't the Romans, it wasn't the Jews, it wasn't Judas. I crucified Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, I didn't crucify Jesus. It happened 2,000 years ago. Don't pin that on me. Why are you blaming me for the crucifixion of Jesus? The Bible says that the reason that Jesus came and he died on the cross was to deal with a big problem that humanity had. We call that problem sin. Jesus came and he died because you and I have a sin problem. This is a huge problem. Because what is sin? Sin is anything that departs from God's will and purpose for our life. If you are here today and you've ever lied, anybody ever lied in this place? Raise your hand. We have a bunch of liars that didn't raise their hand, but no, that's, maybe you have never done that. Okay, just double checking. If you've ever stolen anything, if you've ever had jealousy in your heart, if you've ever been egocentric, if you've ever had pride, if you've ever gotten angry and belittled someone, if you've ever, hey man, if you've ever looked at a woman to lust after her, you said, Pastor, I didn't touch her. No, no, no. But Jesus said, if you look at her and lust after her in your mind, you've already committed adultery. The Bible says that it's our sin, your sin, my sin, that crucified Jesus. We are the crucifiers of Jesus. Tell the person beside you, I crucified Jesus. Hey, that was hard for some of you to say, wasn't it? Peter got up and he said, you crucified Jesus. It was your sin that crucified Jesus. Jesus came and he died on the cross. He came as being all God, who became all man and lived a sinless life. He wasn't a Mahatma Gandhi, just a man with a good cause. He wasn't Martin Luther King, the reformer. He wasn't someone that simply got caught up in some social justice reform. He wasn't a civil rights leader. He wasn't someone that died for a good cause. Thousands have died for a good cause. The Bible says that Jesus was God and became all man. And he came to this earth with a particular and specific purpose, and that purpose was to deal with our sin problem. Jesus understood that you and I, on our own accord, could not deal with it. That you and I, if there was any other way, then Jesus would not have come. We needed a Savior. Because on our own, we could not deal with the sin problem. And so Peter got up and he preached to this crowd. And they were cut to the heart when they finally realized that they crucified Jesus. And then they asked this question, what should we do now that we know we crucified Jesus? I hope that some of you are asking yourself that question. You see, my fear with Easter is that for some people, it's just a time where you dress up your little girl in her Easter dress and take pictures and post it on Instagram and Facebook and say, hey, happy Easter, doesn't she look cute? But I want you to know that it's much more than that. It's much more powerful. In fact, if you really understood the message, you'd be saying, Pastor, what should I do? What should we do if it's our sin that nailed him to the cross? What should we do if we finally realize that Jesus was crucified because of what we did? Peter gets up in front of the crowd and he says that they need to do two things. Number one, he says, repent. I want you to notice what it says in verse 37 and in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that repent, the word repent is a religious word, and some of you don't really quite understand what repent means. So let me explain what repent means. Repent means to have a change of mind and a change of heart that leads to change of action. Are you tracking with me? Repent means that I have a change of mind and a change of heart that leads to a change of action. Repent means that I believe this message so much that I am guilty of the blood of Jesus. I've been living my life my way. I've been following my course. I've been doing things the way I thought they should be done. And now finally I realize that I haven't been doing them God's way. And that I do have sin on my life and sin on my hands, and I'm guilty of crucifying Jesus. And so I stop, and I realize in my mind that it's wrong. And in my heart, I realize that I don't want to keep living this way. And so my behavior takes a turnaround, a 90-degree turn, and I turn around, and I start walking in a different way, and I say, God, I want to go your way instead of my way. That's repentance. Listen, some of you have been raised in a religious tradition, and you've learned the prayers, and you have a dusty Bible beside your bed, and you have a crucifix around your neck, and there's a cross in your house, and you know how to pray a prayer. Once in a while when you're in trouble, you shoot up a prayer to the heaven and say, God, help me because I'm in trouble. But beyond that, you live your life just the way you choose to live your life, and you've never truly, powerfully repented and said, God, not my way, but your ways. I surrender. I believe enough to turn around and go your way. That's called repentance. In fact, the Bible says that unless you repent and believe, you cannot be a follower of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. So Peter said, repent. Begin to follow him. Turn around. Then he gives them the second thing that they are to do. Two steps. If you believe you are guilty of the blood of Jesus. Number two, be baptized. Now, why baptism? Because baptism is to our Christian life what marriage is to a dating couple's life. You could have two people that love each other and say they're committed to each other, but until you see the ring, until you walk the aisle, that you know that that commitment is not public. It's just that private commitment. And listen, if you have a guy you've been dating for 10 years and he keeps saying, babe, hey, babe, you know, it's not the right time. I'm trying to get the right ring. I want the right honeymoon. And he keeps babing you. Let me tell you, after 10 years, I would like babe him somewhere else. Because there comes a time and a place. Because after a while, a babe this, babe that, if he's not willing to make a commitment, then there's something keeping him from that commitment. Baptism is a public declaration of your willingness to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus was baptized. His disciples were baptized. And baptism is going into the water. It symbolizes that your old self is buried, done, over. And when you come out of the water, it symbolizes that you've been cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and that you're living a new life in God. So the Bible, Jesus said it, the disciples said it. If you know that you are guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ, you believe, you repent, and you're baptized in order to say, I'm truly willing to follow Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. Today's message is titled, What Should We Do? It's from our series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. And the new year is the perfect time to make some changes and start moving forward in the way that God intends. To help you in this endeavor, Mark has recommended some resources and tools on our webpage that we know you'll find helpful. To learn more about what's available, just go to boldstepsradio.org. Click on Bold Resources and start taking your next bold step today. Now, let's get back into the second half of our message again with Mark Jobe.
And then he says, listen, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and two things will result when you repent and are baptized sincerely and truly and turn around. Two things will happen. Listen to me. Some of you need to hear this. Behind these two cards here are what some of you have longed for years. Behind these two cards are what some of you came in desperately needing because it weighs on you. Number one, he says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Accepting forgiveness. Can I talk to you about that? There are some of you here that live with shame and guilt of things that you've done in your past that weigh you down. And you feel like there's a stain on your soul that can never be erased. Some of you feel like you've committed the unforgivable sin. Some of you walk into Christian churches and you don't feel the grace of God. You feel guilty. You don't feel the love of God. You feel shame. Maybe what comes to mind is those two abortions that you had 5 or 6 years ago that maybe no one knows but your boyfriend that left you after the abortion. Maybe you have a STD because you partied and can't even remember the guys that you slept with because when you were so drunk, they took advantage of you, but you live with that shame. Maybe you made a mess of your marriage because you had an affair and your wife left you and she was just tired of your infidelity. And now your kids know and you're alone, your family's a mess because you made a mess of your life because following your own way. Maybe there's a bitterness and hatred inside of your soul that you've nursed for a long time, resentment. You can't forgive that person, what they did to you, how they did it. And there's anger, there's darkness, there's ugliness inside of your soul because you literally hate what someone did to you or your family. And you walk around with that sense of being unclean, that sense of being unforgiven. And I want you to understand what the Bible says. The Bible says that when you as a person come to a place in your life that you're willing to believe in faith and that you are willing to repent of the way that you're living and you are willing to accept that Jesus was all God and became all man and died on a cross, in your faith you say, I accept you as my Lord and as my Savior. Come into my life and turn my life around. The Bible says that every sin that you've ever committed, thought, action, deed, your slate is washed clean, completely, absolutely, 100%, not because of what you have done, but because what Jesus has done for you. The Bible says that God throws our sin as far as the east is from the west. You know how far that is? That's infinity. Some of you don't feel forgiven. Some of you don't feel like you can ever be forgiven. Listen, if you're trying to do penance to forgive your sins, or if you say, Pastor, I want to come on and confess my sins to you. Listen, I really don't want to hear your sins. I got sins of my own that I confess to God. I don't forgive your sins. Neither does a man on earth forgive your sins. The one that has power to forgive you is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross and made a way to the Father for you and for me. And there's something powerful to know that you're forgiven, not perfect, but forgiven, cleansed, so that when God looks at you, there is not a sin on your account. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a pretty good person. And I always want to say, you know, pretty good depends on who you compare yourself to. Hey, I'm pretty fast runner, I think, if I compare myself to some of the kids in Sunday school. But when I compare myself to Olympic athletes, I'm pretty slow. So it all depends on who I'm comparing myself to. You're pretty good, yeah, if you compare yourself to people that are in 26 and Cal. That's the local jail for those of you that are from out of town. But God doesn't compare you to other people or to your neighbor. Some of you are saying, Pastor, you should meet my neighbor. He really needs God. I'm a pretty good person. I don't hurt anybody unless they hurt me. I pretty much try to mind my business. I pay my taxes. Listen, God compares you to the holiness of God. His standard is holiness. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and we all fall short of God's holiness. There is not a person in this auditorium that does not need a Savior. If there was any other way for you to be good enough, then Jesus would have never come. We need a Savior to deal with our sin problem. And what happens when you repent and believe and are baptized, you receive the forgiveness, the cleansing of your past, present, and future. Everything, no matter what you have done, is forgiven. You say, Pastor, I know that I can be forgiven through God, but I'm afraid that I'll be a failure in the way I live. Let me tell you, you can't live the life that God has called you to live on your own power. This is not about you white-knuckling it. This is not about a self-improvement program. The Bible says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit has power. The Holy Spirit is God's inner coach. You cannot live a life on your own without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that changes you. And the moment that you receive Christ in faith, believing that He is the Son of God, that He died on the cross, that there's nothing that you can do to cleanse yourself, that it's Jesus who is the Savior, then it says you are forgiven, you're cleansed, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the resurrection inside of you to help you do what you have never been able to do on your own. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I have prayed that this message would awaken something inside of you where you would say, I want more than nominal Christianity. I want a relationship with Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. That's what I want, what you've talked about, where God comes in and turns me around from the inside out. I desire that. I choose that. I want that.
So you've heard it today in this message that Peter was very clear that there's two responses when you finally realize, hey, I'm not good enough. I have sinned. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so he doesn't say believe, but it's implicit in repentance. Mm-hmm. And so believe, repent, and then take the step of baptism, showing the world what you have done. And I love this. If you're listening and you say, hey, Pastor Mark, I've never done that. If you've never done that, then forgiveness of sins hasn't flowed to you, and the gift of the Holy Spirit that transforms you hasn't invaded your soul. And so you're trying to change your life without the power of God. And it's impossible. You'll get discouraged, and some of you have given up and said, I tried religion and it didn't work. This is not about religion.
Yeah.
This is about the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to pray. If you're here, you've listened to this message, you've been cut to your heart, you say, I need that, then I'd like to pray with you. And so wherever you're at, if you're driving in your car, if you're listening in your kitchen, if you're at home, I'd like for you to join me if you say, this is the decision I need to make today. And you could just pray with me. It's not the magic of a prayer. It's the choice and surrender of your heart. Dear God, today I realized I can't make it to you without the work of Jesus. I acknowledge that I'm far from you, that I've sinned against you, God. And today, for the first time, I ask that Jesus Christ would be my Lord and my Savior. I turn away from the way that I've been living. As far as I know, I repent. And today I ask that you would come into me through your Holy Spirit, make me born again. I choose today to be a follower of Jesus. Now, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says, and truly meant it and surrendered, that there is a forgiveness of sins and there's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit that happens. And we would like to help you grow in God at the beginning of this new year. It's what a great decision you've made at the beginning of this year. And so I'm going to ask that you would take the next step and that you would go to our website. And Wayne, would you help them know?
Sure. Just click on My Next Step there at the website. And just yesterday, we got the report of a listener who did just that. They are giving their life to Christ, and nothing fills us with joy more.
So go to boldstepsradio.org, and there's a link there that says My Next Step. We want you to click on that. We would love to send you some information and help you start your new walk in God.
All right, thank you, Mark. Again, go to boldstepsradio.org. And remember, these daily messages are all made possible because of our partnership with listeners like you. Contact us at our website or call 844-615-7363. And we'll say thanks for your gift by sending you a book by Chip Ingram. Learn how to truly pursue greatness in your service to God's kingdom when you ask for his book, Good to Great. Call 844-615-7363. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Tomorrow we'll address unmet expectations. I'm sure we've all experienced them a time or two, and that's what we'll be talking about in our new series, Expectations. So join us Thursday here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.